My dearly beloved in Christ, tragically, it's possible for a person to go to confession frequently and still lose his immortal soul because he lacks a penitent's most important act, which is sincere sorrow for sin or contrition. If this is lacking, no sins can be forgiven. God will not forgive any sin, whether mortal or venial, unless we have true contrition for it. Contrition and amendment are really two different aspects of the same thing. Therefore, we can doubt a person's purpose of amendment if, first, he takes no means to avoid sin and its occasions, and, second, offers almost no resistance to temptation, relapsing into sin very shortly after confession. Mere confession of sin alone is not enough. A person may confess his sins as often as he likes, but as long as he's lacking in true contrition, they cannot be forgiven. If a sinner does not really repent of his sins, no priest, no bishop, not even a true pope can forgive him. Genuine contrition is sorrow for and detestation of the sins committed, together with a sincere resolution to avoid sin in the future. If within a soul there's lurking affection for a single mortal sin that he does not try to eradicate, there can be no true contrition. Our Lord gave to his apostles the power to forgive all sins without exception. However, sins can only be forgiven if a sinner is truly repentant and has a firm purpose of amendment. A repentant sinner displays an efficacious purpose of amendment when he's not only determined to avoid sin, but also takes the means to avoid it. Such a person works hard to overcome his evil habits and to avoid proximate occasions of sin that lead to them. St. Bernard said, "True penance consists in regretting without ceasing the faults of the past and in firmly resolving to never again commit that which is so deplorable." According to Father Alfred Wilson, sorrow for sin or repentance has two aspects, two slants, as it were, one backwards and one forward. Looking back, the penitent regrets and detests sins. Looking forward, he determines to avoid it. Confession without repentance involves self-deception and does us positive harm. Through repeated sinful acts, a person can acquire a tendency to easily relapse into certain sins. Father Joseph Manton has written, "If the sinner goes to confession and is sincere, he can leave there his guilt, but he cannot leave the effects of his sin upon his character and his soul. If that same sin be repeated and repeated, it goes deeper and deeper till it becomes a groove, a habit, so that the sinner is directed almost like a downhill ski run toward the evil act. Absolution is salve and bandage for the moral fall, but does not take away the slope down which you fell, nor your attraction to sin. If this habit, this groove, this channel was dug by repeated acts, the only way to fill it up and get you on the level again is by repeated acts of temptation conquered." My dearly beloved in Christ, a firm purpose of amendment is a penitent's most difficult act. According to St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori, lack of practical amendment is a cause of most bad confessions. Even the confessions of devout Catholics often lack true contrition. St. Francis de Sales said, "Many confess their venial sins superficially and from sheer habit, without giving any thought to amending their life." Commenting on this, Father Albert Wilson writes, These habitual sins they commit without remorse and confess without repentance. I'm not suggesting the confessions of the pious are frequently bad, not at all. Their confessions are saved from invalidity because they're habitually sorry for their more serious past sins, and probably for some of the less serious ones which they confess. Not infrequently, however, they are not sorry for all the sins they confess. And St. Francis de Sales says, it's an abuse to confess small or great sins if we do not intend to avoid them. We are obliged to be sorry for venial sins if we do confess them. Otherwise, our confession is insincere, irreverent, and pointless. My dearly beloved in Christ, in many cases, it's equally laborious to change a life addicted to habitual sin as it is to change the course of a river. One of the spiritual writers wrote that. It's equally laborious to change a life addicted to habitual sin as it is to change the course of a river. Nevertheless, God will not forgive our sins unless we have a firm purpose of amendment. Vague and general resolutions express wishful thinking, not contrition. By the term firm purpose of amendment, we mean a determined resolution to avoid sin, relying on God's grace, distrust of self, prayer, frequent reception of the sacraments, devotion to Mary, self-denial, vigilance, in the avoidance of the occasion of sin. The reality of our repentance and the value of our confessions depends upon our contrition and amendment of life. Father Walsh says wisely, prayer, examination, confession, the act of contrition, all taken together are easier, require less grace, and far less mortification than conquering the dominant sin which I naturally like and the dangerous occasion which I naturally love. Our sorrow for sins must be in our heart, not only on our lips. It is a sorrow for offending God, who is all good and deserving of all our love. If our sorrow is genuine, our confession will be humble and truthful. Perhaps the best resolution we can make for this new year is to do less fault finding and more fault facing. My dearly beloved in Christ, in the spiritual life, we're either advancing closer to God or drawing farther away from Him. Therefore, as we make our examination of conscience before we go to confession, we should ask ourselves a few questions to know the current state of our soul. First, am I resolved to avoid committing sin? This refers especially to any habitual mortal sins. In addition, we must relentlessly try to conquer our predominant sin. Second, have I shown any positive signs of amendment? Three, if I continue to fall into sin, has the number of sins decreased? Four, how often have I overcome temptation? Five, am I avoiding unnecessary occasions of sin? Six, if due to my job, unavoidable circumstances, etc., I'm temporarily placed in an occasion of sin, what am I doing to render it remote? This includes installing a filter on your phone, avoiding dangerous situations while dating, mortification of the eyes, etc. Do I detest my past sins? Do I trust in God's grace and the means He has given me, such as prayer, the sacraments, devotion to Mary, self-denial, and fasting, to help me conquer temptation rather than relying on my own feeble strength? The purpose of amendment must include a determination to avoid occasions of sin, the persons, places, and things likely to lead me into sin. We do not really want to avoid sin, unless we avoid the occasions of sin. We must give them up, even if it costs us a great deal. I'll just close with two short stories. When I was a boy, I waited in line at a grocery store while a cashier was ringing up a woman's items as she unloaded them from her shopping cart. Sadly, the cashier was extremely rude to the customer. It went from bad to worse. Finally, the customer slammed a can of peas on the counter and shouted, "You'll never see me in this store again." She left her groceries behind and immediately walked out the door. I'm certain she kept her word. We should strive to have such determination in avoiding sin. And then one last story. It's short. Okay. A farmer once gave his son a basket of beautiful fruit, some of which, however, was beginning to decay. The boy wanted to throw away the bad fruit, but the father checked him. So the basket was set aside, and a few hours later, the boy found that all the fruit was moldy and had a bad smell. He was much distressed, but his father told him that the basket of fruit was intended to teach him a useful lesson, that corruption spreads rapidly and soon affects what is naturally sound. The same is the case with human beings. Whoever associates with the wicked is only too likely to be infected with their vices. We cannot be too careful in avoiding occasions of sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.